You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Mr. Taggett, we'll get right on that transmission.
Fool. Here, give Mongo the keys and have him park that piece of junk in the back lot.
Mongo like candy.
Hey, boss man, you want me to get on that car?
No, Lily Von Stuck's coming over to sing for us.
Hey, she's here.
Hey, big Mongo Snowman, again and again.
I leave here for 10 minutes and come back and you're all dancing around like a bunch of Kansas City maggots.
You guys give Rock Ridge Auto Repair a bad name.
Give us another chance.
Doggone it, I've had enough. I'm taking my car to Perfection Auto Works.
Dang, lost another customer.
A man who drink like that, he gonna die.
At Perfection Auto Works, we'll blaze a trail to get you back in the saddle again. Perfection Auto Works will make your car run at full horsepower. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Today, Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles, breaks down what now for the President of the United States after the Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel to investigate the presence of classified documents found in President Joe Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware. We'll talk with Ed Ackerley, who is an independent candidate for mayor of Tucson. And then Joe D. breaks down the agenda for the Democrats of Greater Tucson in 2023. Here's Matt Klink. Matt, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. Thank you so much.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, how damaging to the Biden administration is the discovery of the classified documents behind the Corvette?
Well, you know, first of all, that's an unknown at this point. But anytime an independent counsel is appointed, it's never a good thing because they can pretty much do whatever they want. They have a broad mandate to uncover or discover. And no president wants them, put it that way. But for President Biden, it could be very significant because these are documents that are Obama era documents when he was vice president. So he is not covered under the Presidential Records Act, which means that it's a much more serious issue than originally thought. And they found a third set of documents today in searching his Delaware house.
How do you separate this from what happened in Mar-a-Lago with the former president, Donald Trump? How different are they, or how similar are they?
They're similar in the sense that they're both classified documents, but you know, they're different in the sense that the president of the United States has pretty broad latitude, and the punishment is very, very weak for having documents you're not supposed to. The punishment is actually quite severe anybody but the president, because the president ultimately has declassification authority. And it's more of an embarrassment for the Biden White House, because remember, he was the one that was the competent one who was going to restore normalcy to the presidency. And he was responsible. And he went on 60 Minutes and said that it was, you know, deplorable and a threat to sources and methods. You know, he takes classified documents seriously. Well, we now know he had, you know, documents in a closet at the Biden Center at the University of Pennsylvania. And he had them in his garage next to his Corvette. And then they found more documents today. We don't know where those were found. So it's a big deal. It's embarrassing more than anything. And it probably means that, you know, at least that part of the independent counsel investigation for Trump is going nowhere. The real threat that Donald Trump faces is more from January 6th. If at all. So it's just more embarrassing for Biden.
Let's talk about the debt ceiling that's coming up, and how serious is it in the House of Representatives with the holdout of, at least for days, of the so-called conservative bloc that we watched unfold and flex their muscles. But the debt ceiling's nothing to be toyed about. It's serious business.
It is. It's very serious business. I mean, we have until June. The Treasury Department will take some extraordinary steps. But, I mean, look, the challenge is that when the Democrats controlled everything, it was a contentious vote. And they just they passed it and the president signed it. Now, the Republicans in the Senate have already said they're not going to vote for what they refer to as a clean debt ceiling vote. And the Republicans in the House are going to demand spending cuts to at least start the train going in the other direction. So it's going to get really ugly, and someone's going to blink. When the Republicans shut down the government, I think a number of years ago, they took a lot of political heat for it. I don't think that the Republicans are just going to say, of course, we'll rubber stamp, the debt ceiling and allow it to increase even more. They're going to want something for it.
We started out talking about the classified documents in the hands of obviously Biden and then, of course, Trump at one time. How did that affect their hopes for a battle for president in 2024? Biden simply can't announce now. He's got to delay this. And will he, in fact, be out of it because of this? Will this push him over the edge or other people over the edge to try to seek somebody else for the Democratic nomination for president? And what's going to happen with Trump in your estimation?
Oh, boy, there's a lot there. So, you know, look, I think for Joe Biden right now, it's fear of the unknown. Something's not right. You don't send attorneys to offices to move you out. So they knew something wasn't right. I don't know if somebody finally said, hey, Joe, you need to, have you checked to see if you have documents? And he probably didn't. So they sent someone over to take a quick peek. But what is interesting is you now have the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who has appointed independent counsels for two people who are running for president of the United States in 2024. And he, being Merrick Garland, is in a very delicate situation. He has to show, the cases are different. He can't have two different standards of justice. And as Kim Strassel wrote in the Wall Street Journal, 50% of the population is going to be upset no matter what happens.
Well, so, I'd agree with that. There's no question about that.
But yeah, I mean, look, for Joe Biden, the biggest fear is the fear of the unknown. He doesn't know how many more documents there are. And then the question will be, Hunter Biden was in the House. Did Hunter look at the documents? Are there any documents on his laptop? I mean, before you know it, it now links Biden with Hunter Biden. And then it goes into all of the shenanigans about business dealings, especially because documents about China and Ukraine were found that we know of. So, it makes things more complicated for Biden. And then look, as for Trump, he obviously has said he's running. The question is whether he's a viable candidate. He's really been in hiding for a while. He was in South Carolina yesterday, came out and did an event. But by and large, he's kept his head down, which is probably a good thing. Less exposure is always, is good in 2023 for a presidential candidate.
Let's talk a little bit about Kevin McCarthy and what happened really in a dramatic, historic fashion just a week ago. How long can McCarthy hold the speakership? Through the next 2 years? Is that possible?
It depends. I think it will be extremely difficult. You know, Republicans are not good order followers. The Democrats kind of, you know, toe the line, and they did what Nancy Pelosi wanted with the same majority that the Republicans have now. But if you look at the last two Republican speakers, John Boehner and Paul Ryan, they were tied in knots by their membership, much, you know, not even the Democrats, by their own Republicans in the House. So it's going to be very, very difficult. You know, governing anyway is a challenge, but you know, it's with, I mean, there were, of the 20, there were six that ended up voting present, and that's because they don't like Kevin McCarthy. It's not because they disagree with him politically. They just don't like him. So it's much harder to cut a deal if someone doesn't like you than it is if you have policy differences like Chip Roy. So Kevin's going to have a difficult time. And he's going to have to, I mean, if he does what he says, return to regular order, pass individual appropriations bills, not 4,000-page behemoths that spend $1.7 trillion, he does some really good investigative work on the Biden, you know, the Biden business enterprise, on the origins of COVID and the failed pull-up from Afghanistan, I think he'll do well. But budgets and appropriations are going to be really, really difficult, and it's going to start right out of the gate with this debt ceiling. I think it's going to tie the House up in knots.
We're talking with Matt Klink, GOP consultant and strategist in Los Angeles. He is also a commentator on Channel 5, one of the most watched television stations in America, and a 12 million Los Angeles market. Amazing. Yeah, you've been on Channel 5 how long? It's been years, has it not? They've depended on you for your commentary.
Oh, I've been doing it for probably 10, 15 years at this point. So, yeah, it's a great gig for a town that is decidedly non-political. You know, we're chasing raindrops and watching, you know, freeway chases are constitute news. So when they have me on, it's always an honor to be on. And you know, that what they always say is, tell us what's happening, tell us why it's important, and luckily I'm fairly adept at summarizing what's going on in politics and government. So no, I'm very fortunate that they keep asking me back.
We're fortunate to have you back. I'm going to take a quick break, Matt Klink. Let's come back and talk more right after these messages. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics, with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blogfare Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blogfare Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
From the Perfection.org studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. We're looking ahead to a likely spring offensive. The United States and Germany send in Ukraine an array of armored vehicles, including 50 tank-killing Bradleys, to expand its ability to move troops and go to the front line, beef up its forces against the Russians as the war nears the one-year mark. We're talking with Matt Klink, GOP consultant and strategist in Los Angeles. I don't know where this is going to end. Most of the people I talk with from around the world and people we have contact with that are close to this whole situation believe that Russia cannot win this war against the Ukraine. But how long can it drag out before its toll is taken by a country that won't even exist once it's over, Matt Klink?
Yeah, and I have a lot of friends. I've been to Kiev four or five times and spoken there a number of times. And it's not going to end well. I mean, already, the Russians have been in Ukraine since 2014, under when Barack Obama was president. They were in the Crimea and then the Donetsk region. But, you know, this new offensive, or well, it's not new anymore, it's a year old. No one knows when it's going to end. I mean, Putin right now is just, you know, bombing infrastructure and weakening Ukraine. The challenge is that we can't pull out now. It is, though, nice to see other American allies like Great Britain and Canada and the Germans kicking in money and weapons to help, because we can't let Putin just take this. It would send the wrong message. But it's not going to end anytime soon.
Well, there seems to be a waning part of, on the behalf of Republicans and support for the war. Is that damaging to the efforts of the United States to support the Ukraine to the bitter end?
No, I think that they'll, I mean, it's more that they wanted a counting of the money. Joe Biden has sent them $100 billion worth of aid. And let's just say that Ukraine is not the most, let's just say that they're not, the money doesn't always stay in the pockets to whom it's given. And I think that there needs to be some controls over ensuring that the money gets spent appropriately on weapons that actually help the Ukrainians fight against Russia. But that, I have a feeling that when push comes to shove, that support will continue. Primarily because they don't want Russia to succeed.
I think you and I would both agree, and I wanted to kind of conclude with your thoughts on the presidential race of 2024 and who you believe the Republican nominee would be. I think you and I would both agree it probably will not be Donald Trump, no matter how badly he wants it. But who will it be, do you think, Matt Klink?
You know, right now, I think that it's Ron DeSantis's to lose. But, being the front runner in 23 is not where you want to be, because, everybody has a target on his back and everybody is gunning for him. But I think that, ultimately there are others, Tim Scott and Rick Scott, senators from South Carolina and Florida, respectively, Mike Pompeo. Certainly will be formidable. I even heard Governor Abbott from Texas is considering it. But I think right now it's Ron DeSantis. He's kind of the conservative counterweight to Governor Gavin Newsom in California. I think that Donald Trump has seen his best days in office, and that I think people are they still have Trump fatigue. They're tired of him because he's just emotionally exhausting listening to him. Everything he leads his life based on confrontation and chaos. And most people don't want that. They don't want to live that way. So I think that someone who has the conservative principles but without the baggage of Donald Trump is likely to be the nominee. And I still think Joe Biden will represent a formidable challenge, but he will have to get out and campaign, which will not be easy for an 80-year-old man to to run a nationwide race.
Very quickly, you'll have a new senator in the next election in California. How does you see that the Democratic primary shaping up? A couple of heavyweights in the middle of this, and it's going to be a battle.
Oh, there are at least two right now. Katie Porter, Congresswoman, and Barbara Lee, Congresswoman, one from Orange County, one from Oakland, California. But there are more. Adam Schiff is talking about running. That's a job for life. If you get that job, you can keep it as long as you want it, because California is so blue. I mean, Dianne Feinstein's been there since 1992, I believe, or maybe 94. Yeah, 94. And she has been, you know, she has been rock solid for California. But it's a big deal. And, you know, we have a March primary in 2024. The Democrats moved it up so California carries more weight. So it's an early race. And in all likelihood, it will be two Democrats, two or three Democrats that will really fight it out. And whomever wins that primary will end up winning the general election.
Matt Klink, thanks so much for spending a bit of your Saturday with us, and I appreciate your observations. Always admired your homework that you always prepared to talk with me and with this audience. And thank you again for being here and giving us part of your weekend. Thank you so very much.
Thanks a million, John. Have a good one.
You bet. Matt Klink, GOP consultant and strategist for the general, GOP, for the Republican Party. And we always appreciate his observations on a regular basis on our show. Ed Ackerley is a candidate for mayor of Tucson, an independent candidate. He ran 3 years ago, and this time he has a very good chance of becoming mayor of Tucson. Why would that be good for you and me? We'll talk with Ed Ackerley following the news break at the bottom of the hour. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thank you so very much for listening. This is 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Back following the morning break after these messages.
This just in, Perfection Auto Works drops the labor rates to combat inflation.
Hey, it's a bird! It's a plane!
No, it's Inflation Reduction Man.
I was shaving this morning and saw a flash in the mirror. Just got the call back from Perfection Auto Works that my AC is fixed and ready, and my bill was incredibly discounted. Thanks, Inflation Reduction Man.
I was looking up in the sky and saw this flash. When I picked up my car for repairs at Perfection Auto Works, my bill was way less than was estimated. Thanks, Inflation Reduction Man.
When you need to combat inflation on your car or truck, let Perfection Auto Works be your inflation-busting headquarters with our new 15% off on all repairs. Let Perfection be your inflation reduction man. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Ed Ackerley is my guest. He is an independent candidate for mayor. Big event on KVOI this last week, gathering signatures for your independent campaign for mayor with Christy Simone, came off really well.
It was amazing to see the number of people that showed up, but for me personally, you know, when you're running for mayor, lots of people say nice things about you, but I had 3 hours of people getting on saying wonderful things about me. So, you know, and it was good for the listeners to hear my background and people who've known me for 50 years and what I stand for and what I represent for the city of Tucson. So I think it was a good biography of me and a hopeful sign for the future.
4 years ago you ran. What's different about this campaign?
Momentum, and obviously people didn't really know who I was the last time. I kind of ran as an outsider and ran an independent campaign, and there was just a couple of us that were kind of plodding through the malaise trying to make it happen. And we did well. We did 39.6% versus her 52%. This time the mood is so different. It's so much of a momentum that I feel. Obviously, I'm not walking up to people who are endorsing other candidates and so forth and talking to them on a regular basis, but just everyday citizens come up to me all the time and tell me that they're ready to do something different. So the momentum is just phenomenal.
You know, 4 years ago, Rahina Romero, current mayor, got almost $1 million in third-party effort. We're not really sure where the money came from. We know it was from unions. We know that Raul Grijalva, who employs her husband as his chief aide to his congressional office, made the phone calls to the unions to get the money for. We've never seen that.
Never.
That, ever. $1 million in third-party money or third-people money to elect her as mayor. That has to be considered. I don't know whether you're afraid of that happening again, are you?
Well, if it does, I would just say hats off to them for working the process and having the Democratic machine do their magic for them, and that's a good thing for them, and my hat's off to them. What I have to do, though, is to just dig in and be the best candidate that I can be and only control the things that I can control, which is my platform, my vision for the future, and demonstrate to people that I have what it takes to be the next mayor of the city of Tucson.
I see these three issues as the key to the next mayor's race, and that is, one, the crime element in this community and the lack of police to enforce the security of its citizens. Number two, we continue to kill people every day on our streets.
Right.
No matter how many signs we push up or flashing lights, somebody's getting killed every day walking across the street. We've got to do something about that. And the third thing is economic development. And touting Tucson as an attraction to the world like we used to do when we had old Tucson and we had movies that did it for us. We don't do that anymore, and we lose millions by not doing it. We can do so much better. That's why I support you for mayor.
Well, that first point that you made with public safety and police officers and so forth, everything else flows from that. If the reason that we have people stepping into the street and getting mowed over by cars is because, one, there's a fentanyl issue, there's a drug abuse issue, there's a homelessness issue, there's an unsheltered issue that can be addressed if we had some more police officers. And the economic engine, who in their right mind would come to Tucson and start a business right now with all of this crime and all this? So we have to get first things first. We've got to stop this lawlessness, I call it, that's happening among our streets. It's damaging businesses. It's the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. I my hat's off to them too, because 2,500 businesses now have signed on to say we've had enough. We don't want to do this anymore. And my call is for about 1,000 police officers by 2025. And you say, well, how can you do that? That's several million dollars. How do you get that? We have a $2.1 billion budget. If we can't carve out enough money for the most basic thing that we have, which is to keep our citizens safe, then we're not doing the right thing. And so it would be my goal to bolster the police ranks as soon as possible. And let's take a look at everything we're doing and making sure that we get first things first. And the first thing we need to do is to make the city safe.
There's always been a question of how business friendly the city council is. Most businesses would tell you not friendly enough.
I would say that some of the council members are certainly business friendly, but I would say as a whole, the nod goes to neighborhoods and community groups and organizers and people who want to take the funds from the businesses but use them for purposes that would, kind of solve some of these social issues and so forth. And I'm all for helping people, but we have to be realistic that the engine that drives the sales tax, that is what the city survives on, comes from those businesses, and we got to make sure those businesses are healthy. And more importantly, that when people go into them, they're safe, and that if you call 911, that maybe a police officer might show up.
What have you learned about the city in this whole endeavor that has continued almost for 4 years, from the time that you began this race for mayor 4 years ago to the time that you continued it into a second try? What have you learned?
Well, I would say that the pace at which government runs, and I met with the city manager last week. We met with the police chief a few weeks ago, and just the city is trying right now through Manager Ortega's leadership. They're trying to move and attack some of this homelessness and move people off medians and so forth. But that's moving at a very deliberate but slow pace. And, you know, there is some making some headway on that. But I guess from my perspective in business, when I say I'm going to do something, I go out and get it done, and it's pretty quick. And so switching into a government viewpoint, you know, you have to step back and let government, the wheels of government, rotate kind of a little bit slower than what you would in the private sector.
There's two possible independent candidates for mayor. Is that troublesome to you?
Well, I can't control, again, whether or not the GOP runs a candidate or whether the Libertarians run a candidate or the Green Party ran a candidate
or
last time I ran.
Independent. You can't
or if
control.
There's another independent. I can't control what other people do. All I can do is control what our destiny, and our destiny is to put forward the best candidate of all of those so that the people who are going to the ballot and filling it out in their kitchen table or going into a voting center and voting, that they look down the list and say, of these people, which one would be the best mayor of the city of Tucson? So I can't really, affect people that might throw their... And, if I wasn't running, I'd say the more the merrier anyways, because we need to get everybody involved in this process. So I hope that the electorate looks at me and my credentials and says, out of any candidates that run, that I'm the best qualified to be the next mayor.
You've raised significant funds this time, and now, of course, your effort now is to get over 5,000 signatures needed to get on the ballot.
We're pretty excited about eQualify, which eQual it's called. It's the ability for people to jump on my website, accurlyformayor.com, and they can fill out a form online and give me the signatures that I need, and they can also make a donation online. This is totally different from last time. We did everything by checks and cash, and then we did everything on paper for the signatures. So this is a different campaign in that structure as well, because now I can reach a lot more people and get those things that are needed, money and signatures, a little faster, which is kind of nice.
Buses still free?
Buses are still free, and you just got to wonder.
Mobile housing for the homeless.
Yeah. You know, that's not the answer, and, housing is not the answer. When you talk to Lisa Chastain over at the Center for Opportunity, she says, giving somebody a free house or low-barrier housing or getting into the house, not that eventually they shouldn't get into a house, but that's not the cause or the solution to the problem. You got to get to the cause, and the base cause is that at some point in somebody's life, they decided to use fentanyl, and they got addicted to it, and now it's ruined their life, and we're paying the price for it.
But we've got to get these kids and adults and people off the median strips, strips of our thoroughfares. It's dangerous.
It's very
everybody.
Dangerous. And the
it's profitable for those who are picking up a dollar from every car that goes by, or on many cars. But
up in Scottsdale, they give the person that gave the money a ticket. I think it's about $750. I don't know the exact number, but it's a pretty hefty fine if you give somebody that's on a median a $20 bill. They don't arrest. Eventually, they go talk to the person that's on the median, but they'll pull over the person that gave the money and say, we don't do that in Scottsdale. I think we need to implement that same kind of thing.
Yeah, good luck on getting that.
I think we need to make sure, because if you...
The lids will be screaming out of their...
But if you continue to provide those resources, then they're going to continue to stand on the median if you continue to give them the money that they're asking for. There are Punch Woods, who ran the community food bank for 25 years. Wonderful guy. Back 40 years ago, he would tell me, don't give them money on the street. Give them a card that says, come see us at the community food bank. Get them to the Salvation Army. Get them to the Center for Opportunity. Get them somewhere where they can get some help. If you give them a dollar or two or three or 10 or 20, they're just going to use it to get more fentanyl and more alcohol. And so it's not it's hard. It's a very difficult thing. You want to help everybody, but also we shouldn't be enabling people be doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
All right. How do people sign your petition? And who qualifies to sign it?
Well, anybody that lives in the city of Tucson that's a registered voter can sign the petition.
Republicans or Democrats?
Anybody.
Libertarians, anybody.
Because I am an independent candidate, so you can jump on and sign my petition. And I can receive money from anybody that's in the United States or any around the world, because if you're a U.S. citizen, you can donate money. Now, granted, I need 300 residents of the city of Tucson who are registered voters to all give me $10, because I need 300 $10 donations from city residents who are voters in order to qualify for the clean elections process, which is how I ran last time. But that doesn't mean that someone couldn't give me $500. It's just that their first $10 is what's counted towards that 300 level. So going on to my website, accurlyformayor.com, you can read about me, read about the 11 points that I think are the most important things we need to focus on. and look and see what kind of a mayor can make this place a better place. Get on board and help me fix Tucson.
You know, we were talking last fall, and we said, well, it's a year away, blah, blah. Boy, it's coming right up.
The train is coming.
Funny how the clock moves so rapidly as you get closer to a campaign.
On Christmas Eve, I wrote a lengthy email to my key staff and my key supporters and went through a litany of how I've prepared over the last few months and weeks and years even and all of my life for this job. And I am ready, and I know that I'm going to be the best mayor that the city of Tucson's ever had.
I think you would be. Very well. Thank you so very much, Ed Ackerley, for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you often as this campaign unfolds all the way through the fall. Thank you
so
much.
And I appreciate your support. Thank you, John.
You're more than welcome. Ed Ackerley, candidate for mayor of Tucson. He'll be a great mayor. Support him. We'll be back with more of the John C. Scott Political Forum following these messages. We'll talk with the Democrats of Greater Tucson spokesman, Joe D. Now this.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Hi, I'm Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, with a warm invitation to join our group. We stand for the democratic values of diversity, inclusion, and empowerment. We offer timely weekly programs with speakers from politics and government. We offer a monthly happy hour. All this for only $20 a year. Just search the Democrats of Greater Tucson and join today.
The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Joe D. is president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson in 2023. Joe D., welcome to our show, and let's talk about the agenda as we move into an election year for the City Council of Tucson, as well as other races that are very much involved in the Democratic effort this year. So a little bit about where the Democrats of Greater Tucson are going in 2023, Joe D.
You got it, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Thanks for being here.
Great, great. Well, we had a board retreat today, and we talked about how we can really help those bottom-of-the-ballot races. And the city council certainly would be part of that. And what we figured we need to do is to continue to get more membership for our Democrats of Greater Tucson so we can educate and get the word out.
So how are you going about that? So let's talk about that. How do you make that happen?
They have a multimedia campaign with brochures, certainly your show, certainly opportunities to participate in community events and affairs, and continue to offer great programs through the Democrats of Greater Tucson.
You know, people should realize, of course, that this is a way to get to know people and get to be a part of the whole process of the Democrats of Greater Tucson and the amazing number of people that actually appear on Mondays on the internet to be interviewed by not only the audience, but others, obviously, that are trying to figure out who they want to vote for and why should they vote for them. And your archives are amazing. You have almost every Democratic politician that ran for anything over the last couple of years in your archives, and people can take a look at them anytime they want to. So let's talk about how it works on Mondays on the Internet.
Well, we have a Zoom meeting, and the guests actually phone in. We can see them, we can hear them, and they have about 30 minutes of the program to be able to talk about, you know, their thoughts and their agendas. And then we have about 30 minutes for questions from the audience. And so they get to ask the questions either in the chat room, or they can actually raise their hand electronically and ask questions to the guests directly.
That makes them participants as well as spectators. So you get to have two roles to play if they join you on Mondays.
Absolutely. And we have some great programs coming up. This coming Monday, January 16th at 6 p.m., we have the two candidates running for the Arizona Democratic Party chair. We have Yolanda Bejarano and Steve Gallardo. I've had a chance to meet Yolanda. I'm looking forward to meet Steve electronically. And I'll be actually one of the Arizona State Party delegates that we've got a Zoom meeting later this month. We're going to be voting for the new chair. So two great candidates, and lots of great questions will come from the audience.
You know, I don't think people realize how important the structure of the Democratic Party is. And I'm talking about the state party, the Pima County Party, parties that represent other counties across the state of Arizona. As effective as they are, is going to mean how effective the Democrats are going to be in the coming elections. It's an important role to have that kind of structure. You might talk about that, if you will.
Absolutely. It's what attracted me to be a Democrat when I turned 18, was a party of inclusion, a party that was transparent. And when you have the party functioning at the precinct level, as well as Pima County Democratic Party, the Arizona State Democratic Party, we are going to have more Democrats in office, and we are going to be able to serve the people better.
You were talking about some of the people that are going to appear, those two that are going to be running for the state office. What else do you have coming up as far as an agenda on the Democrats of Greater Tucson Monday event?
We have on this Wednesday, January 18th, the Drinking Democratically Happy Hour. We're going to be at Brother John's Barbecue. People really seek us out. There's a lot of folks who move into town that are really looking for people they can chat with and bond with and do things with. And this is a great way, a great happy hour to get to know people in town and to help us do more for electing Democrats.
Okay, very quickly, just repeat, if you will, who the guest will be on Monday.
Monday, we have two great candidates to be Arizona State Party chairs, and it's Yolanda Bejarano and Steve Gallardo.
Those will be interesting to get to know those people. A lot of Democrats have no idea who's running the party at the state level, and now you'll get to know them at least before they ask for your vote as a Democrat. I want to thank you so much, Joe D., for being with us, and congratulations on the enormous success of the Democrats of Greater Tucson in 2022 and into 2023. Thank you so much for being with us and giving us part of your weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
You bet. Proceeding has been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. I'd like to thank Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles, for his comments on what is happening with the missing documents of Biden and Trump. Ed Ackerley, candidate for mayor of Tucson, was also my guest. And, of course, Joe D. of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. I want to thank you so very much for being a part of our show each weekend, 3 to 4. The John C. Scott Political Forum, now in its 34th year, 34 years of continuous political talk in Arizona, the longest-running political talk show in state history. Thanks for making that possible. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, the John C. Scott broadcast, sponsored by Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works, one of the best auto mechanics in the entire world. You can trust him. I do. and you can too. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, with a warm invitation to join our group. We stand for the democratic values of diversity, inclusion, and empowerment. We offer timely weekly programs with speakers from politics and government. We offer a monthly happy hour. All this for only $20 a year. Just search the Democrats of Greater Tucson and join today.
Every day in auto repair shops across America, the war rages on.
I'm just getting my brakes fixed. You said it'd be an hour. I've been here 2 days.
I just came for a tune-up. I want to go home. I miss my kids. I even miss my husband.
I've read every magazine in the lobby 15 times, and all I want is an oil change. What's taking so long?
I want my car. I need to be in Pittsburgh a week from Wednesday.
Don't let your auto repair experience be your longest day. Call 323-8650. From a tune-up to a free 26-point inspection, Perfection Auto Works can make your car repairs fast, informative, and guaranteed. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.